Our reading this evening is taken from Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 21 to 31, and it's on page 688 in the Pew Bibles. Comfort for God's people. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you, Rosemary. Can you all hear me?
Great, thank you.
Well, good evening. It was really lovely to be here and wonderful to be able to sing and worship God in English. Usually I'm singing in Cambodian. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Juliet Curry, and my family and I have been serving as missionaries in Cambodia, sent by this church. So tonight, I would like to try something a little bit different. My talk is going to be shorter because you're going to have more things to do. And the first thing I'm going to do is ask you a question. See if that works. Thank you. So what do you think of when you hear the word change? Just shout out. Change.
Something different.
Difficulties. Okay. To become better. To become better. So a positive thing. Anything else?
Scary.
Unknown. Yes. So that's why it could be scary or it could be exciting. Very good. Thank you. Yes. So we've got a variety of answers, and some people are excited, and some people find change difficult. Maybe more of you find it difficult, and that's completely normal. The last 2 years, we've been back in Cambodia, and it's not been easy for us, even though the picture looks nice. We were on holiday then. Particularly, it's been difficult because we've been through so much change. Many of you may feel the same way about the last 2 years. We obviously had to find a new home when we went back to Cambodia, and I understand moving house is one of the most stressful things you can do. My grandmother died soon after we went back. We had to adjust to new leadership in our team. Then that leadership changed again, and we were heavily involved in the process. We changed jobs to help our colleagues with the transition. Our children's school moved at this time as well. Our long-term colleagues left. Our church leader had to step down. My husband injured his knee, so he couldn't walk. And the list goes on. And I don't want to go on too much. But missionaries particularly do face a lot of change and transition, more than most people, and partly it's the lifestyle we have chosen. And God gives us the strength to continue. Actually, it's not easy to say that. We've learned through testing times that God has given the strength to continue. And change has still brought struggles and stresses and even tested our faith. Different members of our family also react to changes in different ways. We had different reactions within this congregation, and we've had to learn about each other's reactions and how to care for each other as a family as we go through stressful situations. Nevertheless, change is part of life for all of us. And how do we cope? Interestingly, if you do a search on the internet, you'll find huge numbers of guides to help you with life changes, and actually most of them do not have Christian values. This is a helpful one that I found. It's just a tool. If you find it helpful, do take it home. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. So this Holmes and Rahe, whoops, go back. Holmes and Rahe, I think it's pronounced stress scale. So you can take it home, work out the numbers, and you might find it helpful. The point about it is that change is stressful, whether you enjoy change and find it exciting or whether you hate change. If you notice, even Christmas is down there at the bottom. So, and as we think about that, I know that when we go through changes and struggles, we're often tempted to doubt God as well. When I was preparing for this talk, I realized that doubt comes in many different forms. And there are many questions that we begin to ask. And often we come back to these questions whenever we're struggling. Throughout life, we might find that we're asking the same questions. Things like this: is God really there? Is God really good? What did I do to deserve this? Am I really doing what God wants me to do with my life? And why is God so far from me? More as well. And someone described to me a useful thing that we can do when we have such doubts, such big questions. And what they said, they said we should sword fight. What does she mean by that? Well, what she meant was that the Bible has all the answers about who God is, who he truly is, and how we can relate to him. And anything that we think that goes against what it says in the Bible is a lie. And we need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as we read in Ephesians 6, verse 17, and we can fight against it. And the way we can do that is actually to memorize some helpful verses. Some examples that I have is God really good? Psalm 27, verses 13 to 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And another example, if we're questioning whether God has our best interests at heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. Here's one of my favourite verses when I'm thinking, what's going on now and how can God possibly work for good in this situation? Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And when I hear this verse, I am reminded that Jeremiah is set during one of the most disastrous times for all the people of God. Already the king and other important people had been carried into exile. Many more would follow. The people were being punished severely for failing to follow God and worshipping false idols instead. Yet right in the middle of Jeremiah, there is this message of hope. For I know the plans I have for you. Our good God knows what will happen. Everything is in his hands, and he does not make mistakes. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So I take comfort in these words, whilst also taking note of the fact that these things come about when I seek him with all of my heart. Am I seeking God with all of my heart? Or do I still hold on to something else that's more important? What are my idols that stop me loving God as much as I could? Maybe there's some sin that I hold on to that is getting in the way of my relationship with Jesus. Then I'm not really wanting to seek him with all of my heart, am I? So it takes some humbling and confession before I can truly turn back to Jesus, know I am forgiven, and seek him again. Then, of course, there's the passage that we read tonight, Isaiah 40. And Isaiah 40 is particularly good if you feel far from God and if he feels like a distant and uninterested person. And it starts with the first verse, comfort my people. It's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, Isaiah 40. I encourage you to read all of it. And then this lovely verse 11, the illustration of God as the shepherd and us as his sheep. But if we go on to the next slide, is it working? Yes. So the verses that we read tonight, God, immediately we see God as our creator. And we can feel like grasshoppers in verse 22. When we realize God is looking at us, and it is right that we should feel awe at his splendor. But on the next verses, we see some of the changes that happen in life. I like this metaphor. The rhythm of the seasons, plowing and planting seeds, then harvest. Life and death are part of that cycle. And they're not unexpected. But then the writer, in this beautiful poetry, begins to hint at how much God cares about the details. In the verse about the stars, verse 26, not one of them is missing. We are meant to be in awe of God and his power. And then we see the answer to the question in verse 27, which basically means, if you look at the question in verse 27, it just means God doesn't care about me. The answer is more than we ever asked or expected. Verse 28, the Creator God, the everlasting God, far beyond our understanding, cares about us. Verse 29, those who seek God will find him. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you're here in church tonight and you don't know God, can I encourage you to seek him? The name Isaiah actually means God saves. He lived 700 years or so before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in Judea, and yet Isaiah prophesied some of the clearest predictions of who Jesus was and is today. In particular, he described a suffering servant of the Lord who would also be the promised Saviour or Messiah. The salvation predicted by Isaiah would include cleansing from sins, a renewed relationship with God, and ultimately peace with God in his kingdom. Jesus, God himself, sacrificed himself in our place on the cross, a horrific instrument of torture. He is so personal, so caring, that this was in his plan all along. Jesus also promised a comforter, and we have that in the Holy Spirit to guide us in God's will each day. So, final prayer of blessing. Many of you will be familiar with the first part. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. Amen.